All right, we're going to interject a lesson at this point before we begin chapter 2. This is lesson 7 in chapter 1. The title of this lesson is God's Timing. And before we begin the lesson, let's take time to confess our sins so we'll be in fellowship and the Holy Spirit can perform His teaching ministry in us. Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word, for learning about how you operate and how you expect us to operate. In your grace and in your wisdom and in your power, we pray that these things will be becoming clear to us as we continue to study your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The title of this lesson, as we said, is God's Timing. God's timing is perfect. We see many times in Scripture where God has specified times for events and for certain conditions to exist or take place. God's timing is not the result of His being busy or not having the time to get to things that to us may seem urgent and in need of attention. God is never behind. His timing is part of His perfect plan. He knows exactly when something needs to happen, and He plans for it to happen at that time. And the time that it occurs is the perfect time. Now, this is hard for us to understand. God's timing is perfect, as everything about Him is perfect. It's hard to understand because we're finite and He is infinite. And so we're very limited in the scope of our understanding of God's immense size and His perfection. Now, God is perfect not because a standard has been applied to Him and He somehow meets that standard. He's perfect because He is the standard. I want to say something here about God's perfection that we will see throughout this course, that something is more perfect to the degree that it is more like God, and to the degree that it is done in closeness to God. Something is less perfect to the extent that it is done against or away from God, or is ungodly. When we start to assess perfection, we tend to start with our own limited righteousness. We can call this relative righteousness, as opposed to God's perfect righteousness. We start with our understanding rather than the unlimited wisdom of God. Where we should start is with God. When we see God's perfection in perspective, we will surely understand that His perfection alone is the source of all good. At least the kind of goodness that He embodies, and also that He demands. Nothing truly good can come from us, especially. That's true all the time, but especially when we're out operating on our own, because we are not perfect. Any perfection in us must derive from Him. Remember this, perfection comes only from God. Now, we are talking about God's perfect timing. His timing is always perfect. He has sorted the schedule out already and is playing out this sequence like a master fiddler. It's His plan that's operating. All right, we want to look now at some principles and examples of God's timing. God controls everything, you see, but He has given us choice. This is a mystery to us, but we think that we have solved this mystery, and we say a great deal about this in our book, Living in God's Plan, which you can find at my website, BibleStudiesForChristianGrowth.com, which, by the way, is where you are. If indeed we do have choice, and we do, then God's plan allows for those choices in His plan for our lives. And as He plans all events in the universe, He factors in those choices. And nowhere is His plan more evident than in His timing. So let's look further at what the Bible says about this timing. We've got five principles / examples of this timing. Number one, God does everything in His own time. In Genesis 18, God is reassuring Abraham that he and his aging wife would be having a child at the appointed time. Genesis 18:14 says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? I, God, will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." At the appointed time, God has a specific time for everything. Number two, God specified in His plan the time for Christ to appear, as we see in 1 Timothy 6:14 and 15, which says, "To keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time." Number three, God gave Moses a promise that the plague of flies would not affect the Israelites, but that Pharaoh's people would suffer greatly with this scourge. God specified this as an event to occur the next day, a specific time, as we see in Exodus 8:23. This passage shows God telling Moses what to say to Pharaoh. And here's what He said: "I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow." Tomorrow, a specific time. Number four, we all have an appointed time to die. Belshazzar's time came probably earlier than he wanted to, and earlier than it had to, because he had rebelled against God, prompting God to remove him. But God knew beforehand exactly how many days Belshazzar would be king. So God scheduled the precise time of his dying. The end of his reign was marked by his death. The message God gave in advance is recorded in Daniel 5:26, which says, "This is what these words mean. Mene," and that means numbered. "God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end." And as we know, he died that night. There are many other verses in Scripture that show this. The timing of our death is appointed by God. It will be at an exact time. Number five, even the spreading of the gospel is timed by God. God promised salvation to believers through the gospel. This was planned before time began, but was announced at a time specified by God. This is what we see in Titus 1, 2, and 3, which says this about God's timing: "A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and at His appointed season, He brought His own work to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior." In closing, God's timing is perfect and not something we should rush or be impatient with. Isaiah relayed a message from God warning the Israelites against rushing God. This is declared in Isaiah 5:19, which says, "Woe to those who draw sin along with cords of deceit. To those who say, 'Let God hurry, let him hasten his work so we may see it.'" Rushing God shows a lack of trust in God's plan and can only get us into trouble. We will surely see God's timing again and again as we move deeper into the studies of God's plans and his operations. Timing is a very important part of his plan, and we'll see this more clearly as we move along. Now, there are no questions or other scriptures for this extra lesson, so we will now close. Father, we thank you for the words that you have given us. We pray that you take this knowledge and our understanding of your timing, that we would trust you to do things in your perfect time, and that we could count on you that everything is going to work together for good as long as we stay close to you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your strength. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.